They're the sociopaths. They're the criminals. He says, and then there are sheepdogs. The sheep are a little leery of the sheepdog. He wanders around, checks the perimeter every night, barks at the moon. He would never turn his teeth on the flock, but he yearns for a righteous battle. And when the wolf comes around, nothing else will do. And the entire flock is sitting there trying to hide behind one lonely sheepdog as he faces down the wolves. Who is capable of confronting and dealing with combat and sustaining themselves across the long haul. The goal becomes to be a sheepdog, to be a warrior, to be the one that is ready to respond to the threats when the time arises.
Good morning, guys. This is Amanda.
Good morning.
You're on Blue Justice. I have Ken and David and Tammy. Hello, everybody.
Good morning.
Hi, Amanda.
David, how are you?
Tammy. Okay.
Ken, you're like a stranger. I never get to talk to you anymore. How are you?
Oh, fine.
How's it going down there where you're at?
Oh, it's pretty good. I was just reading the paper this morning. And Beyonce is coming to Tampa to play in the Raymond James Stadium, and they always have to have a large police presence at those things for traffic and crowd control and that type of thing. Not one Tampa police officer has signed up to work that as a extra detail, as extra money. So there's some
awesome
pushback to that bimbo. Yeah, you're damn right it is. You're damn right it's awesome. It's just totally awesome. And I'm thinking Beyonce may have overstepped her limited mental capacity there and heard the wrath of the police family. I certainly hope so. I never thought she was that damn, but I listen to old rock and roll, so I don't understand this new stuff. But refreshing when the coppers aren't signing up, and they're paid $34 an hour to work additional duties. It's through the police department, and the police department's coming out with statements. Well, we're going to cover the event. They have to somehow, and
right,
pull guys
right
off of their regular shifts or off of their patrol and investigative duties to handle something for this
right
bimbo. But
none of them are just going to volunteer their time. And by volunteer, I mean none of them are going to say, yeah, sure, I'll do it for the extra money. I mean, they turned down the money for that, which is huge.
Yeah, they turned down a secondary employment through the department. And, they do it for all of the football games and the hockey games and baseball games and things like that. If I'm not mistaken, there's some kind of a requirement that each venue has to have a certain number of police officers based upon the seating capacity of the venue. But no coppers have signed up yet, and I hope none do.
Right.
But that you're right. That speaks
blue too.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing, David?
I'm doing fine, Ken. How are you?
Okay, buddy. I saw something in the New York Times or something that the protest that you guys were down protesting in front of the NFL.
Yeah, Ken, that's
NFL
what I wanted
office
to talk about. Today's what I wanted to talk about with you and everybody else on the line, of course, but I wanted to hear your input today on this was – actually, I wanted to cover the Beyonce Florida police officers not signing up. I wanted to talk about that, and I wanted to talk about the protest, because the protest, I don't know how closely you've been following this week, but only three people showed up to that protest at the NFL headquarters, only three pro-police supporters, and about 50 counter-protesters showed up. And, we were it's very discouraging to our officers. We had Chuck correctional Chuck, he made a comment on the page about how disheartening it is, and it really is, that it's not the police officer's job to stand up for themselves and to stand up and say, well, I support myself, or I support my police, I support my Blue family. It's not their job. It's our job as supporters to be out there doing this for them. And we've had more pushback from the officers themselves than we have the civilians, than we have the supporters. And that's really discouraging. It really is.
Well,
I wanted to,
you know,
what do you think about it?
Don't be too discouraged, because even though it was small in number, you got some publicity on it. I was looking it up, and if I'm not mistaken, it was in the New York Times, and they normally don't publish stuff like that. But anything to put the NFL under a microscope and to bring, I don't know if you want to call it negative publicity to their cause, their non-profit organization, and so don't be too discouraged. I know it's disheartening if you don't have, you know, 50-100 people out there and doing the oblong drive. I wish to heck I was up in New York. I would have certainly been a participant. But as far as the numbers go, it wasn't as good as anticipated. However, it still did bring publicity and attention to LESMA and the things that they stand for. I'm surprised you haven't seen like an increase in activity on the site as a result of that. But
I haven't. It actually mentioned LESMA.
Yeah. And when was the last time LESMA was mentioned by the New York Times?
Wow, I haven't
probably
seen that.
Wasn't.
I'll have to do what?
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Well, you know, it's just like Ken says. You know, any publicity is good publicity. We've got something in our favor right there, just being mentioned.
Well, this is exactly where we're talking about with accountability. We were talking. We mentioned that we had several. We had about 25 people that said they were going, committed to going. Many of them were police officers who had personal reasons for not going. Well, I say personal, but the unions wouldn't back them. The unions wouldn't send out a memo. The unions wouldn't even respond to our members. So they got together and said, no, we're not going, because the unions don't have us, have our backs. We're not doing this, which is understandable on the police officer side. But we were talking about LESMA as a corporation, and we are held accountable. And the media, Fox News, was emailing me that morning from the event, where are your people at? I'm standing here and there's no one here. And I'm like, I didn't know at the time. I knew why the officers weren't there, but I didn't know why the rest of our members weren't there, and why nobody, several groups put this together had planned on doing this, and nobody showed up. So it was very disheartening, but I had no idea LESMA was mentioned and given that attention in the New York Times. That's very, I actually appreciate that. Negative or not, I appreciate it.
Well, you know, Fox News has a heck of a reach. It beats MSNBC and CNN all to pieces, and probably was a real good opportunity for, you know, David or you or someone to get some face time on the Fox News channel, not just the New York station, but, you know, worldwide.
Yeah.
And it was,
well, they were trying. I mean, they went for that to give us some face time, and then there wasn't anyone there, and I did let them know exactly why. There were a couple of contributing factors, I think. There was someone else had sent a memo out last weekend that said, because there was another event set up that we had nothing to do with and we had never heard of or didn't know these people, but there was another event set up for the same thing, but it was scheduled an hour later than our event, but it was at the same place and everything else. And they said, do you know anything about these people? And, you know, I'm like, no, I've never heard of this group. And Washington Post came out and said that the whole rally was made up. Law enforcement supporters make up rallies nowadays to get attention or something.
Well, Black Lives Matter. You know, if they send out a thing that we're going to protest, I don't know, frogs jumping across the street or something like that, you know, that all of the TV outlets and everything else will be there to get their take on the thing and listen to their silly babble. But you know what? While you're talking about that, have you given any thought to this thing may have been torpedoed by a group working at opposite ends of LESMA? You know, they do it all the time in the political arena, and I'm thinking that somebody may have felt that LESMA was getting a leg up on them, and you know, they may have put out some emails and things to people that said this isn't going to happen and it's been canceled and this and that. So
yes, that is very possible.
Yeah, we made mention of that the other day on the show that, you know, I strongly thought that, you know, even by groups posing as police supporters, you know, kind of working both angles and just, you know, using the smoke and mirrors routine and put an end to it somehow, you know, just threw a monkey wrench into the whole works. It's very possible.
Well, that you're entirely right, Dave. And I wouldn't – sure, okay. You can be disheartened for a day or so, but let's don't lose sight of the objective. And the objective is law enforcement supporters for media accountability. And that's exactly what you had in mind. You wanted them to be accountable to this organization and to the American public for, allowing something as silly as that to happen, and for the NFL not to make any comment or no meaningful comment about that. So I think it goes right along with the organization's tenets and the Constitution or, you know, whatever LESMA operates under, but I wouldn't be too upset about it. We can... You learn from your experiences, of course, and it's a good learning experience, let's say, because the next time something like this happens, or maybe even before something like this happens, and you guys get wind of it, David, you seem to have your ear to the ground on these things pretty good, and, you know, perhaps LESMA could get involved proactively. But I wouldn't be too upset, and I would encourage everybody to step back, dust it off, and power on. You know, just drive on.
Absolutely.
It's a
hey,
good
guys.
Organization. An organization that needs to be out there with the message that you have. And I couldn't think of any police officer, anybody that's law enforcement oriented, not liking this organization. It's made up of people by and for law enforcement. And you know, the majority of the members are ex law enforcement or current law enforcement, and they do support the goals and objectives of the organization. And I think you should just keep powering on. I look forward to every Friday.
Yeah.
I get all my
guys,
stuff.
Sorry, I don't mean to keep interrupting. I was just gonna tell you guys. I talked to Amanda about the event itself and why people might not have shown up. Now, a lot of the people scheduled to go to the event had scheduled to be there at 8. LESMA had us sign up for 7. We were going to meet at 7, and we don't even know if the media was there at 7 in the morning or, you know, because I think they said they had been there for an hour, and that was around 9 o'clock in the morning. So they may not have even seen any of our members. But also, if our members showed up and nobody else was there,
they could have just left. But that is one possibility. We just don't know. That's part of what we've been trying to find out. You know, if there's a reason, we do know some reasons as to why. And we also said, you know, were they sent home? Could somebody have said, you need to leave, you can't be here? And we don't know. We're waiting to find out if something like that happened still. But we have not heard that from...
Yeah, you know, from the way you're talking, it seems like there were some miscommunications or a very thoughtful and deliberate sabotage of the event itself. And, you know, the more I'm hearing about this from you guys, I'm of the opinion that somebody got in there and hacked the program or however the heck they do that and kind of threw a monkey wrench into things. But you know what? This is your first shot at a, you know, something along this line. And we all go to school with every event that we have. And so the next time it comes up, you know, maybe everybody can be a little clearer. If it's in the Tampa area, I'll rally the troops and we'll have something. I'm hoping, but or St. Louis. I'm always looking for a phony excuse to get up to my hometown. But I'm thinking, you know, the more I'm hearing about this, there's some shenanigans going on here. Some kind of subterfuge of some sort, and I wouldn't be too discouraged. It was, you know,
I was more discouraged, not about that. It was more like the officers stood out there. They had NYPD protecting the area to protect the protesters that showed up because they knew there would be counter-protesters. And the officers had barricades set up so that everyone could be safe and do their thing, and to see, it was more upsetting just to see the officers standing out there all by themselves in the rain waiting on their supporters to show up. You know, I mean, what cop doesn't want to see their supporters in action, especially? And for nobody to have showed up, that's what really was discouraging. It was just like, guys, we can't drop the ball here.
Look at it from this angle, Amanda, okay? You're looking at a photograph that was taken by a reporter from a certain angle, okay, showing absolutely nobody there, showing just nothing but wide open space, okay? If there was any protester in favor of law enforcement that was there, they did not give them any spotlight. They purposely took the picture in one angle to show that nobody should, you know, was there. That's why it gets back to the fact that we're thinking about, you know, somebody just threw that monkey wrench into the whole works, and the BLM and people like that and the other that did show up to protest in favor of Beyonce or whatever, they were given the media spotlight showing that, hey, we're here in numbers. So they do have photographs probably of them all standing around, but there's no photographs of anybody in favor of law enforcement. Okay, they purposely took that picture at that angle.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's how the media operates.
It's a dog and pony show to them, and they go with numbers. So if they want to give supporters for law enforcement a black eye so that they can promote something else, that's what they're going to do. Whatever sells newspapers, whatever sells their airtime, you know, it's a game. It's politics, just like anything else. And it's like Ken says, you know, it's a learning curve. Yeah, it was our first rodeo there. It's not going to be the last.
There you go.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. We let them keep pushing on, just like Ken said. We keep pushing on, and that's what we're going to do. And everything is a learning experience. And you know, and it was planned short notice. There's several reasons why certain things, why it kind of played out. It was just a perfect storm almost. For everything to have happened the way that it did. Again, it's not, I was just more felt bad for the officers. Like, we had a chance to stand up and show support. And you know, being in Oklahoma, in Tampa, in all these other areas, you can't in just 8 days just jump on a plane. Most people cannot just jump on a plane and go up there for that. So we only, you know, we knew it wasn't going to be like some million man march or something either. We weren't expecting that much. Tammy has something to say. My toddler's going crazy, so she's got something else to talk about, though.
Take it away, Tammy.
I'm sorry. I had myself muted. I was just showing Amanda that, because I was trying to find out what day Beyonce's concert is, and it apparently doesn't have signed up to provide security for the concert in Florida. It is an update. They don't have an exact number, but now they are reporting that people have signed up.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and I...
Police department's putting that out, right?
I don't know who provided the update. I can share the update on that one to the page so that everybody can see that.
Yeah, question everything that... It's put out by the press. Jeez, they slant. And even in conservative Florida, the Tampa, two Tampa papers here are decidedly left-leaning. But, you know, that's something we have to deal with. And that's one of the reasons Lesma is getting the traction that it is. So, but go ahead, Tamaroo.
Well, that's all I have for you guys right now on that one. But do you know when this concert is, the date for this concert?
It's in April sometime. I looked at that this morning, and I
think it's the third.
Tell you. Is
I
it?
Think it's
okay.
The third. I think so.
And a couple days prior to that, she's in Miami. Is that correct?
Okay.
And I think they're...
Go ahead.
One of the big stadiums down there or something. And they're having trouble in Miami also. I don't know to what extent, but it should be nice if we had somebody from Miami or Tampa PD or their wife or girlfriend or aunt, uncle, husband, whatever it may be, tap in and kind of keep us posted on something. That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be nice if we could actually let her see the protests and if people showed up to
well,
protest
she's got
the concert
actually,
right there.
She's got two venues going on in April. She's going to be in Miami on the 27th, and she's also going to be in Tampa on the 29th.
Okay
so I'm more
But
well,
then
I'm
she,
just
you know,
putting
moved.
This out there. My brother lives in Orlando, so I can get out there.
After that, I mean, she's traveling all over the United States. I mean, she'll be going to Atlanta, Raleigh, Nashville, Houston, Arlington, San Diego. I mean, you name it, she's covering every facet of it. I mean, she's even headed towards, I think, in May towards Pittsburgh. And I've already talked to some officers in Pittsburgh that don't want anything to do with it. They, you know, do just like any other department. They have to sign up. They don't work for themselves. The city of Pittsburgh has them going under the headline of the city of Pittsburgh. They can't work off-duty details without their express permission. So, and nobody in Pittsburgh I know of is willing to do it.
Bravo. But they'll be forced to do it, right?
Well, when it comes down to public safety, it's going to come down to the, you know, you're on detail, you're working tonight, this is your actual paid shift, this is where we need you to be. Now, I'm hoping, you know, there's always strength in numbers, but I've seen back in Pittsburgh where officers, even though they were scheduled to do something when they were on shift, they said, you know what, this is totally wrong, screw you. You know, and all of a sudden, so many officers just miraculously got sick at the same time.
Amazing.
I've seen it happen.
You know, one of the things that they could possibly do is have the guys who are on the shift work the event and then have the part-time, you know, the guys that are off-duty, you know, backfill the beats and stuff like that. So I've seen that happen a time or two. But I'm glad the coppers in Pittsburgh are sticking together too. This gal has really ticked off a lot of people, and you know there was no reason for that kind of stuff. And it does kind of piss me off that the NFL they had to know what the hell that was about. They said,
absolutely.
Well, we don't have any knowledge of this, and
I don't, for a second. It's going to be performed. They have to approve everything, and they ultimately gave their approval. They tipped the hat and said, go for it. You know, that's where I lost my respect to them. You know, I will no longer patronize them in any way because of they willfully went into this. They did it willfully. They knew exactly what this broad was going to pull, and they allowed her to do it. And they gave her gave her a national platform.
For what? For Black
to
Panthers?
Run that bunch of propaganda
and killers, dope dealers.
Exactly.
And that sucks.
But the worst part about it all, this broad here, she's going to sit here and say that she's all for Black Lives Matter, this, that, and the other. But you know what? Who's her, when she comes into a city or whatnot, she's looking for protection from every law enforcement officer. She's got to have an escort. She needs to be protected. Well, my God, you know what? Aren't you playing both sides of the fence? If you're that safe and your brothers and sisters are on your side, what do you need to be protected from?
Yeah, why didn't she have the Black Panther Auxiliary escort her to and from these events?
Exactly.
You know? I
second that.
Sign up all your BLM members and have them come out and walk you into the gate. But I guarantee you, half of them bastards will turn around and mug her in a heartbeat.
Sure they would, for a nickel.
You got people
sign
in that whole organization that would sell their mother's eye teeth for, you know, a quick, you know, romp around the corner or crack rock or whatever the hell they want to do in life. They'll hang her out to dry. She's nobody to them.
Yeah. Sayonara, Beyonce. It's been nice knowing you. Yeah, she'll wind up dead. Oh, speaking of that.
Go ahead.
Is this an open forum or we want to stick on this?
Yeah, nope. Talk about whatever you want, Ken. It's your show today.
Oh, here's a good one for you. This rapper, DMX, I think his name is. I think he was up in Yonkers, and he took a big hot shot of heroin, and he had conked out. He's guys killed the police and, you know, F the police and all that jazz. And somebody called the police because there was a man down, and they get there, and some copper's giving him mouth-to-mouth, and then the paramedics get there, and they give him a shot of that Narcan. And he popped out of it. But if he's...
Yeah, and
if
then
he's,
his publicist turned around and says, no, he just had a reaction to something. He wasn't under the influence. Of course they're going to spin it that way. But bottom line, it was two NYPD officers that saved his sorry ass.
And, you know, that's our job, but to save a life and take a life if necessary. But, goddamn, I wouldn't shed too much of a tear if they let that one slide. You know, and the ungrateful bastard.
But that's the thing
probably,
about cops is that they won't. They won't. And that's the thing about them that people just don't ever realize. They can get called out on a call, and it can be, you know, just that same situation. And they don't have a choice. They don't have, I mean, they do. They can lose their job, but they're not that kind of people. Police officers, people act like they're so bad, but the fact is, whenever your kid's in danger, who's going to be the one there saving him? Who's going to be there protecting your child?
Yeah, that's correct. You said something about you brought up the point that everybody thinks we're so bad. That I'm thinking that somewhere between 80-90% are pro police. Of course, everybody's gotten a ticket and been stopped or given a rouse by a copper at some point in their life. But when it comes down nitty-gritty, I'm thinking the majority of the population is for the police. The only reason that police are getting such a horrific beating these days is the liberal, unaccountable, radio and print media. And they're the ones paying attention. And if we got just a few minutes here, I got some stuff laid out here that I've been pulling off of the wires that, if it's okay with everybody, I'd like to discuss. First off, there been six coppers killed in the last couple of weeks, and one is probably hanging on to dear life, that corporal down in Clarksville, Mississippi. He's hanging on for dear life in Memphis. And, you know, I mean, you get shot in the head, man, that's pretty serious. And
he's actually making a miraculous turnaround here from the way I understand it.
I hope you're right. Yeah,
he
good.
Is conscious. He's able to communicate with them, and he can hear them and, you know, and understand what they're saying. He knows that he has his family's love and support there and his family and friends. So he has made a miraculous turnaround, which he wasn't expected to even open his eyes.
Oh, yeah. Is he able to speak or anything? Or?
No, he's still on ventilators and stuff, but is conscious. You know, if you ask him yes or no question, he can answer you by blinking. So,
I see. Okay. Sure.
He's conscious.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, maybe that's won't wind up on the Officer John Memorial page.
I mean, let's face it, his quality of life, like we said the other day, has, you know, dramatically changed now from this point on. Go out and, you know, will he ever be able to go out and play ball with his kids or the neighborhood kids or just be a part of the community like he used to be? No. The life, the way he knew it, is over. If he pulls through this, you know, to a degree where he can go home and have somewhat of a quality of life that's, you know, comfortable. You know,
for him, yeah. Yeah, well, and his family's there. That means a lot, you know. That'll kind of notch up the survival mechanism a notch or two. Sure, they'll hope so. But I'm of the, you know, I can't go on my flat screen that I probably spend too damn much time in front of without seeing some cop getting shot at, trying to burn down their house and all this other business. And this is, no one can convince me otherwise that all of this shit comes right from Ferguson and the Black Lives Matter people and the inability of the police department, the St. Louis County Police, of which I was a proud former member, were not allowed to take the necessary police action to stop that kind of activity in the initial stages. If they would have gone out there and made a couple of arrests and stood their ground and all that jazz, none of this crap would have happened. But no, the governor of the great state of Missouri, Governor Nixon, gets in there and says he's going to take it over, which he has the authority to do. But and all of this, all of these police shootings and this anti-police material that we see every freaking day on TV, in the print media, and a lot of it on YouTube and some of this other stuff on the internet. But I'll duck in there and throw a zinger at him sometime using the fake name. But I use David sometime. But if we've got just a minute here, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about our president. And
oh, boy.
I don't like it either. An activist met with the president in the White House to discuss efforts to reform the U.S. criminal justice systems, but a panel reveals a divide within the movement. So that's a good point. Now, they're always talking about reforming the criminal justice system. I think the criminal justice system's working just fine if you just let it. President Obama praised the young Black Lives Matter activists in the White House on Thursday, yesterday, taking special notice of prominent Ferguson protesters and describing the meeting as a movement to bridge differences in the younger changing civil rights movement. What kind of happy horse shit is that? All that does is empower these knuckleheads who they don't have jobs. They're being paid by George Soros to stir the pot, and it's not civil disobedience. It's outright taunting and attacking police. And he's given a stamp of approval to this type of activity. And continuing, it says that they are going to take America to new heights. I'm going to say, go on a limb here and say they're going to take America to new lows. This D. Ray McKesson, he was there, and the degree of focus and seriousness and constructiveness they remind him of an older existing civil rights organization. Their seriousness and constructiveness. I can't think of anything that these people have been constructive. It's all about tearing down, and it's never enough.
Obama made a statement in his little press conference he had with the BLM that he invited to the White House that he was very happy to see their organizing, their protests, and standing up for what they believe in. My God, man, you know, get your head out of your ass. Stop kissing the asses of these goofballs here that are just set on violence, destruction to get their point across. They're not organized. They're just a bunch of hoodlums. They're thugs.
Bunch of thugs. Street corner thugs.
You invited thugs to the White House, to our nation's capital, and gave them a spotlight and gave them the okay. You virtually shook their hand and said, it's okay to go out and do whatever the hell you're doing.
And I think that is that's in direct proportion to the number of officers we're seeing shot and killed. Thank God for these protective vests that these guys are wearing. They're getting shot, but they're not killing them because it's hitting a vest. If it wasn't for those vests, we could probably double or triple the number of shooting deaths for officers today. And when I was on the street, I always had everybody make sure everybody was wearing their vest. I wore one too. Boy, that was hot in the summer, but you know that it sure would save your butt. Continuing this panel, which included now this will move your blood pressure up a notch or two. Reverend Al Sharpton. Now here's the son of a bitch that owes like $5 or $6 million, not grand, million, on their taxes, and he's chiding us taxpayers about not paying our fair share. Well, here's a son of a bitch that owes, you know, $5.8, $6 million, $7 million, who knows? And he's invited to the White House. If it was you or me, we'd be hugging cold steel, pal. And don't what a bunch of bullshit. And continue with this story. Both issues disproportionately affect Black Americans who are more likely to be incarcerated, experience police brutality, or be killed by the police than are white Americans. Okay, let's take a look at this. They're more likely to be incarcerated. Now, I know penitentiaries are full of innocent people, but I don't know anybody up there who is in for singing too loud in the choir, something like that. They're incarcerated because they violate the laws of the land. Pretty simple. Experience police brutality. I got a tough time with that. Maybe several generations ago, maybe. But today, no way. They say that when you walk out your front door, you're on film 50, 60 times a day. Or the blacks are killed by the police. They're killed by the police because they fail to comply. It's really simple, folks. All they have to do is comply. I never shot anybody who wasn't doing what I told them, and never would. But all of these folks that are killed by coppers, they're doing something to make that copper shoot them. And we all know that is the court of last resort. And one of these officers that was killed, it's interesting that this thing showed up. One of these officers that was killed was shot by a 15 or 16-year-old kid and the copper was going to tase him before he went for his gun. And we saw what happened. I forget where that was, but...
That was Fargo.
Was that what it was?
Fargo. I think so. I'm almost positive.
Yeah, because there's been so much pressure on this, and this is gonna really increase police incidents where coppers are hurt or killed, is the deadly hesitation.
Yeah, do you remember, I think it might have been Florida, but I could totally be wrong on the location, but do you remember it wasn't very long ago, a detective got his own gun taken away from him and pistol whipped into unconsciousness. Thank God the kid didn't kill him. And whenever they were taking pictures of the unconscious detective on the ground and blasting it all over Twitter and laughing about it. And then the cop, of course, was hospitalized. He eventually regained consciousness and was okay. But his first statement to the media was, "I didn't want to be the next big media story."
You're right.
And
yeah, that was Birmingham, Alabama. You're right. I do remember that. And what kind of position are we putting these police officers in to where they have to be involved in a situation where they let it go to the point where they let people knock the daylights out of them, take their, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we gotta have some leaders like Sheriff Clark that say, hold your ground, stand your ground. We're with you. If you're within the law, and all of these shootings, they're everything's within the law, and even Michael Brown, I talk about this, I scream about it, and Michael Brown Jr. Didn't Have to Die, my latest book, that early on in the investigation, Obama and Holder, two of the biggest racist bastards you're ever going to find anywhere, knew early on that Michael Brown did not have his hands up and he did not say, don't shoot. And they could have very easily quelled some of this, or probably a good bit of the civil unrest throughout the country, from coast to coast and border to border. It wasn't just in St. Louis. It was in New York. I saw those knuckleheads running up and down the streets. And, well, it's okay because I'm sure they don't have jobs. They have to get up 4 in the morning. But this is unconscionable. And here's another one. McKesson, the guy that started, well, he's one of the activists in the Black Lives Matter, has asked Obama to consider an executive order that would set a new standard for the use of force and require federal law enforcement officers to prioritize, I'm sorry, the preservation of life. Well, come on. That's a big play because
Let's talk about that because that's exactly what officers are doing. They are prioritizing life. What was that word? How'd you say that? Prioritize the preservation of life. That's exactly what they are doing. That is exactly. They are... That person is a threat. If you are killed by police officers 99% of the time, I'm not going to say 100% of cases because, you know, it has happened. However, if you are killed by a police officer, that is because you are a threat to someone's life, that officer's life, citizens in general, society. You are a threat, and you presented yourself as a threat. So that's exactly – this guy's an idiot. That's exactly what is happening is that they are – prioritizing the preservation of life. The preservation
they're tying the hands of law enforcement. By the time you get yourself into a volatile situation with an individual, okay, all right, let's take that incident where that canine officer was stabbed to death in Pittsburgh. All right. You've got a situation where you've got a knife-wielding suspect. Okay, he's already killed a police dog. Now, every effort was given, and he was given every opportunity to surrender. He chose not to. He wanted to go out in a blaze of glory, and he sure the hell made sure that happened. Okay, they used pepper spray. They used tasers. Nothing worked. no matter what they did. And even, you know, with the dog going out there, you know, the dog did some good, but ultimately the dog lost his life. And how much more shit are you supposed to give these individuals before you say enough's enough and you just have to take them down? Because they're just so, you know, don't wait for the guy to calm down. What are you supposed to do? Let the son of a bitch go out there and stab three people and he says, oh, okay, I'm calm now. No.
Was he killed or?
Yeah, he was shot. Total of 12 rounds were fired at him. Total of 9 officers were surrounding him. But every time one would try and get close to him, the knife came around and the officers backed up. They actually try and deploy the tasers, not once, but twice. And the garments he was wearing were so thick that the probes couldn't penetrate. So,
well,
that's, you know,
probably planned the clothing and that.
Pardon me?
He probably planned that with wearing the heavy clothing so that the probes couldn't get to where they needed to be.
I don't even know if it's so much that, not to be in favor of him, because back at this time of year in Pittsburgh, I mean, it's extremely cold, so layering up is not uncommon. But he's wielding a knife, okay? And you're talking about prioritizing how you approach a suspect and try and gain control of the situation. Well, he had all, between him and his father, I mean, police officers were already physically assaulted, and weapons were trying to be taken from them, and then chases ensue. You know, you've got the deployment of OC spray, you've got tasers going off. You know, everything was exhausted, okay? The guy just was not going to cooperate regardless what the situation. He was going out the way he wanted to go. He wanted to stay in control of the situation. Well, yeah, he did. He kept it a volatile situation, and he paid the ultimate price with his life.
Pity.
Yeah,
tongue in cheek. Was he whacked out on PCP or something?
No, you know? Well, right now the coroner hasn't given an official statement as to what might have been this. I mean, we already know that alcohol was involved because that's how it started out. It was two individuals on Port Authority Transit property drinking and, you know, just having a little drinking party there, and that's how it started. But if they would have just complied, more than likely the officers would have, you know, taken the alcohol, given them citations for public
disorderly. They'd have been on their way.
Exactly. But they both fought, and this was father and son. They both have extensive criminal histories of violence and whatnot. Okay? Now they're trying to.
That one, he had charges for violence against an officer in Florida, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
That was
the dad who. Dad had numerous charges in the past of assaulting police officers, and the son also had a couple charges like that too. But just acts of violence in general against the general public. I mean, the guy was a nut job, all right. And the family's going to sit there and say, oh, he was a loving, caring individual, and we really, you know, we want to take care. We take care of him. No, you didn't. You left the son of a bitch on the damn streets. Okay, you didn't bring him into your home because you didn't want his crazy ass there.
Well,
now
when
the public have to deal with this son of a bitch, and what's he do? He takes it to extremes, pulls a weapon on police officers, and he's going to tell he'll kill the first one that comes near him. Well, I'm sorry, pal, you just set yourself up for some serious failure right there.
Well,
what do you expect?
Has there been a lot of blowback? Are they planning on suing the city and all that jazz?
They do have a movement there that is getting involved in trying to put in their two cents. They're a political movement. They do have ties to the BLM, but they call themselves black political leaders of some sort. I mean,
Some kind of silly shit.
Yeah, the Black Political Empowerment Project is what they call them. Yeah.
Good.
Gentlemen, use the term loosely, gentlemen. His name is Tim Stevens. He's the chairman and CEO of this Black Empowerment Movement. But they do have ties to the BLM. And they're trying to sway the investigation because it's been taken over. The investigation has been taken over by the county of Allegheny to investigate so that it was impartial. You know, you don't have the other powers to be involved, which is customary, okay?
That's
but the
fine.
DA, DA Zappala, he had a press conference, and he did it twice, and he showed the actual footage from almost beginning to end of everything that transpired. The only thing you don't see in that footage is where the suspect gets out of camera range, and that's where he was ultimately shot. Our luck that he gets shot outside of camera range, but,
yeah,
you know, it doesn't make a difference. The man was wielding a knife. You can clearly see in all the video footage that he's wielding the knife, and every time an officer tried to get close to him in any way, shape, and form, I mean, he was alert enough to know that somebody was behind him, so he was ready to lash out. So you don't really have – your hands are tied. You know, the next step is you either do as we tell you or we're going to drop you.
Pretty simple. All you have to do is comply.
Exactly.
And
compliance is the key here. You know, people are failing to realize this. You know, yeah, you have a voice. Well, you know what? You can say your piece in court. You'll
exactly.
have an attorney. If you feel you need to say something to the judge, by all means, speak up. You know, but there's a time and place for it. And it sure the hell wasn't there. And not with a weapon in your hands.
Amen. Can I get an amen?
Deserve everything you get.
Exactly.
And then make it like because the dog was murdered, that it was just a dog. You know what? Kiss my ass. That dog
who said
is
that?
A law officer in working in capacity as a law enforcement officer. In my eye, you murdered a police officer. At that point, you murdered a police officer. That dog is in official capacity of police law enforcement duties.
Yeah, sure he is. Yeah, that's another thing. These dogs are getting attacked a good bit lately. I've noticed it.
We've had probably now to date, now the last time I checked, you know, in the beginning of the, when this all transpired with Officer Aaron, at that time there was only maybe a couple. But since that has transpired, I've seen 6 more assaults or better on canines.
Hmm. Yeah,
and
they're not
barehanded. I mean, we're talking weapons wielding at these animals.
Oh yeah, these dogs are getting shot and cut and sliced and
whatever.
Yeah. But that's got to stop too. This thing's running wild here.
Oh, they're turning it into the wild, wild west. Well, you know, I hate to tell you folks, you know, if you're going out there thinking that that's the way it should be, you're going to be on the losing end. Like, every time, you will be on the losing end. Because police officers are going to do their job regardless, okay? And they're going to follow the letter of the law. If they've got to drop your ass because you don't want to put the weapon down, guess what? You lost right there. You lost. You think Joe Blow down the street's going to come to your aid and stand beside you and say, hey, I believe in your brother? Keep holding that gun and tell them what you think. You hell no. That son of a bitch down the street ain't going to come anywhere near you. And he's not going to help you. He's not going to support
you. Let's talk about the stats that I had yesterday. So of all of the officer ambushes in 2016 so far, we have a friend that's running a website. Okay, we have a LEFMA member running a website that's keeping track of all of the officer ambushes. And yes, and it's a very good website. He's very detailed. It's very good. I'll send it to you, Ken. But I believe it's called officerambush.com. And he started it at the very beginning of 2015, and he's kept it up since then. And it just covers ambushes. And I think...
Is there any comparison between, like, the same period last year or no? It seems like
it would
be up.
I don't know. That's kind of – it is up. It is up. that's kind of the point of it. Actually, police killings. Last year, between January 1st and February 12th, there was one police officer shot and killed. This year, in the same time frame, there were 8 police officers shot and killed.
Wow.
So just let that sink in. Yeah. Yeah. But what I wanted to bring up really quick on this website, he's done all these pie charts and broke everything down into percentages, and I believe it was 58.4% of suspects ambushed an officer were taken into custody, and I believe something like 30-something percent were killed. And all these people keep saying the officers are out for blood, you know, when in reality the officer is going to take whatever measure he can. He doesn't want to take a life. They're not out for blood. They don't want to take lives. That is a last resort. And 60%, damn near 60% of people who have ambushed a police officer have been taken into custody without being killed. So this crap about they're out for blood and they're just going to kill you and, you know, it is absolutely false.
Total
absolutely
baloney,
false.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. Let me continue here on this real quick, like this meeting that Obama had with the Black Lives Matter people. And there's a gal in Chicago named Aislinn Pulley, co-founder of Black Lives Matter Chicago, said the meeting was a photo op and a sham. And Pulley is, and she's the only one that didn't go to this meeting, or one of them. And she asserted that her attendance would only serve to legitimize the false narrative that the government is working to end police brutality and the institutional racism that fuels it. And she goes on to say that I have always maintained that we have to take the fight everywhere, and we have to leverage every single tool we have to get free. What a bunch of bullshit. But the good part of that is there's some canyons beginning to form in the Black Lives Matter movement. So, you know, I'm thinking that at some point those knuckleheads will just self-destruct because their message is so damn stupid. But I guess there's a lot of stupid people out there because a lot of stupid people do adhere to that, or not a lot, but you know, a certain percentage. But and that's the pathetic thing. So that's my rat tune, folks.
Do what?
Yeah, go ahead,
I'm
Amanda.
Sorry. I don't know what I was going to say. The mystery woman started talking in my ear, and I completely lost track of whatever I was going to say. I have no idea.
Well, we're about down to the wire, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, it's about time.
Okay, let me with a quick one here. The Baltimore Six. Baltimore judge is refusing to postpone the trial of 3 police officers in the Freddie Gray case. There's 3 guys there because the Marilyn Mosby, the black prosecutor for the state's attorney for the city of Baltimore, charged those 6 coppers. And you remember that Bill Porter had a hung jury, and they're going to retry him.
Mm-hmm.
But these other, there's 5 other ones that are going to go to trial. But the defense put up an appeal to their appeals court in Maryland. It's called a special court of appeals, and because the state's attorney wanted Bill Porter, the first officer found where they had a hung jury, they wanted him to testify against the other officers, and they were going to give him a grant of limited immunity. And while he was testifying, they called him a liar 24 times. So it appears that their whole prosecutorial game plan is falling apart. We can only hope so. And let's get these fine cops back to work. And I guess that's it, huh?
Yep, I agree with you. Let's get them back to work. And we said from the beginning with Baltimore, we were hoping to see it fall apart. I'm sitting here with my fingers crossed because it's just been so shoddy from the beginning. You know, we're sitting here hoping that something gives eventually. But yeah, let's end on that because it is time to go. Ken, thank you very much for calling in. We'll talk to you next Friday, right?
Okay, sure. Right. See you, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye, David. Bye, Tammy.
Bye, guys.